Hey everyone, welcome to Smash Trivia. I'm your host, Smash Trivia John. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram by searching Smash Trivia to follow everything happening with me. I'll be the one with a big old green head in the profile picture, so excited to get into this. This is the Gamma Analysis. Basically, in this series, I'm going to review everything Hulk, all the movies, TV shows, and I also do random other geeky films. Occasionally not so geeky ones too, and I also like to mix things up once in a while by not reviewing anything. Hope you enjoy Smash Trivia Presents The Gamma Analysis. I want to ask everyone listening, if they can please do sign for me, please share the hell of this podcast with all your friends. If you don't, Hulk will be angry. Now that we have all of that important stuff out of the way, let's smash right into this episode. Hello, my Gamma friends. Today I'm joined by Jesse from the Cult Ultimate Circle podcast. How are you doing, Jesse?
There you go. Thank you so much. I'm doing well. John, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited for this episode. We're doing a double feature review of both Ready or Not and Mayhem. Both of these are horror action comedies, as I would say, They both star Samara Weaving and Weaving, which she is just amazing in both of these. Which one would you like to start talking about first?
I guess we can go chronologically if need be. So I think with Mayhem first. I guess what do you? Do you think about Mayhem in terms of the movie and, you know, yeah, what do you think about it?
I absolutely love it. It's so much fun. As you've probably seen from my post, I'm a big Hulk fan, and this film has a lot to do with similar things with Hulk this virus basically hulks them out in a way of not quite the same, but I think there's a similarity there.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think more so for anybody who hasn't seen the movie or whatever. It's what's called the ID7 virus. Mm-hmm. And what it does is, like you were saying, it kind of makes these people Hulk out.
Yeah.
But in a way, it really lowers your kind of inhibitions and it really enhances your id, which is kind of like, you know, obviously the id is kind of like your most center part of your brain where it's like, you know, the things that make you want to like fight, fuck, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So it kind of, it enhances that more so than anything.
Yeah.
And so because of that, like you then have like, people are kind of like at their most, like, what's the word? At their most angry and also at their most like, kind of rageful type, mm-hmm. you know, feeling really, which is kind of where everything kind of goes into.
One thing like with the film that I found very interesting, but also maybe a wonder outside. So they mentioned how comparing the ID7 virus or the red eye virus to someone on cocaine, that it makes that person look normal in comparison, which is very interesting. And made me wonder if someone has both, does the two actually they work together, or does it actually just cancel out the cocaine? Was the big boss of the film just wasting his cocaine?
Probably, most likely. I mean, I think with cocaine, it more so just like, I've never done it really.
I'm not either.
but you know, I think from what I understand, it's more so that your senses are just heightened, and that's why you have, you know, the whole kind of thing of, you know, people just like can be shaking, or they're like doing this, you know, they're putting their finger on their teeth and like all this stuff or whatever. But like, it's one of those things where Yeah, it's kind of, I kind of wonder that, like, is the big boss just like, what's that doing for him? Like, kind of a thing. Everybody in this building already has it. Like, everybody already does. So it's like, what is this guy doing? You know?
Oh yeah. One thing that I found a little strange, they kept saying like there's one person infected and that there would be they want the CDC to go in to get that out one person. Everybody is infected. Why it wouldn't they have to get everyone?
I know, and it's almost like, and it's so crazy to me too, because like also I think this movie kind of had a fun, a bit of a, not fun, but like it had a resurgence, I'm sure, because it is on Shudder. But even during like something like the pandemic or a little after, because it is crazy to think like, oh yeah, they're talking about quarantine and they're talking about all
Yeah.
these things, and you're like, oh wow, this is a real thing. Shit. Like, you know, so that's kind of cool that like
Oh yeah,
you could have that kind of thing.
it always contextualizes things when you have it have say like the pandemic in real life and say like this that came out beforehand. It's great. Watch it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think a lot of people found it that way. I think that's, I found it after that.
Yeah,
I don't think I knew about it beforehand.
I literally watched it for the first time last December, I believe. I also watched it's the other film we're gonna be reviewing as well last December. So basically what happened was I went on this like binge of like every night I was watching different random horror films for all like a week straight, and I found both of these. I was like, oh, I'll try these out. These sound like fun.
Yeah, totally. I think for me, like, I mean, because that's just what I do in my daily life, where I'm just like thinking, okay, what can I watch or whatever. So for me, I watched this in June of 2021. Then I watched it again in October of last year, and then I just watched it a couple days ago for this podcast. But yeah, I think like, you know, if anything, yeah, it's like trying to find random, you know, stuff to watch or whatever. But yeah, I think for me, I think this was honestly the first Joe Lynch movie I'd seen either. Had you ever watched any of his other films or anything like that before Mayhem?
I'm not sure. Let me look up his films.
Yeah. I'll kind of give you some to start with. So, have you ever seen Wrong Turn 2, Dead End?
No, I have not.
That actually is pretty cool. It's like a late 2000s, it's the second Wrong Turn movie, and it's about these people who are in a reality show like kind of production, and Henry Rollins from, I don't remember the band he's in, but he's in it, the chick from not Jessica Biel but Pepper from the Texas Chainsaw remake, the black gentleman from, I think, Final Destination 3 is in it. Yeah, it's like, it's a good time. I personally really liked it. But there's him. Have you ever seen the Knights of Badassdom with
I
Peter
want to.
Dinklage?
I want to. I've never. I haven't had a chance to see it yet. At
I
all.
watched it in college, back in, oh
Yeah.
Jesus, this movie came out in 2013. It's probably when I saw it. I don't even remember it, to be perfectly honest with you, but go ahead if you want. I
Yeah,
mean,
like
I don't
it
know.
just looks absolutely ridiculous. So I'm
Yeah.
and. Anything that's absolutely ridiculous catches my interest is for
Sure.
films. So I want to see that at some point.
What about Chillerama?
I haven't ever heard of that, so I'll have to look into that app. Another one that I would like to see of his films is his newest film of Suitable Flesh. I've heard that
Yeah.
that's a really fun time.
I think it is. I recently watched it on Shudder because I don't do screeners. I don't get screeners like that. I'm whatever. But it came out on Shudder finally, and I'm a Joe Lynch girl myself. I do like him, and I think he's actually a fairly decent filmmaker. And Suitable Flesh is a good time. I liken it to if you like things like Reanimator or From Beyond or those kinds of things, because it is a Lovecraft story. Well, Lovecraft's a whole other thing, but if you like those kinds of films, because this I think was supposed to be done by the gentleman who passed away, unfortunately, I think it was Stuart Gordon or somebody. He was supposed to direct something like this before he actually passed away, but I think Suitable Flesh is a good time. Like, it has Heather Graham, Barbara Crampton, the one kid from, what the fuck is his name? Judah Lu Lewis. I think he was in some movie. Or no, he was on a TV show, wasn't he?
I'm not
I don't
sure.
remember. Jonathan Scheck, who actually is kind of from my neck of the woods in Maryland. He was born here and he grew up like in the same county I lived in, which was weird. So I'm like, okay. It's a good time. I would definitely check it out if you haven't already done so.
I'll definitely check that out. I haven't ever seen in Reanimator before, but but that's another one that I would like love to see at some point. And I've heard that it's heard that there's a lot of similarities between it and another horror film that I absolutely love. Of Have you ever heard of Onyx the Fortuitous and Talisman of Souls?
No, I have not heard of
It
that.
is a very niche indie film that that I which is one of my last reviews that I did on my podcast, but I found out about it last year around when it came out, and as soon as I was able to watch it, I watched it and instantly fell in love with it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it's about or anything like that. I think I'm seeing it right now, Onyx the Fortuitous and the Talisman of Souls. No idea what that is, but I mean, I would think it's,
I
oh, and
understand.
you did it with my boy Clayton. I like Clayton. I just had a conversation with him. He's super nice. Yeah, but I have no idea what this is. However, I think if anything, like Reanimator is like definitely like this kind of weird horror comedy, but like there is this like kind of bad mad scientist sort of thing going on. But I don't know. I personally really like Reanimator. I like the first one. I've seen the second one and it's fine. I have not seen Beyond Reanimator though, but Jeffrey Combs does have a certain place in my heart. And who knows, maybe it could be a little something like this Onyx movie.
Which one of the reasons for the actual or people comparing it to Reanimator is because Jeffrey Combs from Reanimator is the villain in Onyx Fortuitous.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. I really love everything about Mayhem. I definitely hated the villain, but I was supposed to hate him.
Yeah, you're supposed to hate the big boss and all that kind of stuff, right?
I think one of my favorite scenes in the film has to be when we have the big fight right after they call or after a psychologist calls in, and that was so much fun. It's great. It's great seeing like they're I when they come they actually get to the different people's offices to fight them. Those scenes are absolutely hilarious. When the Reaper says that he thinks that women should be treated the same in the workplace as he stomps.
As he just like is stomping on Smart
That's
Weaving.
hilarious.
Oh God, it's that's what's ridiculous, because obviously that's super misogynistic and horrible, but in this thing, in this context, like everything's out the window. And I mean, it is very that is really funny. And God, the Reaper guy, he was just somebody who I'm like, oh God, working in HR before myself, like I'm just like, yeah, I mean, that's not how all HR people are, but at least from my experience. But I'm like, yeah, like sure, I whatever. It's kind of this the caricature of it all.
One character that I think it's supposed to technically be bad because they made a deal with the bosses, but I can't help but just be like, good for them. Is the lady's assistant and
Meg.
yeah, like I can't help but just be like, good for you. You tell be able to screw over or the siren like that.
Yeah. It's I like the also thing too. I like that in this universe, everybody hates Kara. Like everyone hates the siren. Like nobody likes her. Like the Reaper is like, I hope she dies promptly. And like everyone kind of has this thing of like nobody really likes her, but like we all know that she's that bitch who knows like office politics. She knows how to like she just knows how to deal, and that's why how she's gotten to the level she's gotten as a director of operations. So in this situation, like I like how everyone just hates her. And but I do like that too, where like, you know, because you think like, okay, I'm gonna give you my key card. Cause the whole thing is that they're trying to get up to the nine, the board of directors, and they've vanquished the Reaper, the HR guy. Their next thing is Kara, which is on a floor of some sort. And she's like, okay, well, I guess I'll give them the key card if they're gonna try and take it, blah 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 blah. And then like literally Meg just like puts it in the microwave and she's just like, fuck you. Like, and I kind of love that because I'm just like, I don't know, like as an assistant, you're like, yeah, fuck my boss. Like, I hate you. Like, not saying you have to hate your boss, but I'm just saying, like, no, I would have hated Kara too. I probably would have
Oh
done the same
yeah,
shit.
Kara was the worst.
It was the worst.
Oh man, one kill that I particularly found really funny was when Steven Yeun, Eric kills the enforcer guy by spitting hitting the pepper or spray back into his eyes. That
Oh yes, yes.
was
I'm trying to remember if that
great.
was him, but yeah, it was either that or it was yeah, the enforcer guy. You're right. The guy who's like the security. And this is near the end of the movie. That all happens. Yeah, you're right. You're
Oh
right.
yeah,
Not
like
the
I
HR guy, but like the guy's like his like muscle where the guy beats up everyone for the boss. Yeah, that guy.
Yes, like I loved it. Loved that. It was like I've never thought of someone trying to use their mouth to have to catch that and then spray it back into someone's eyes.
Oh, I loved it. It was so good. I mean, I think one of the deaths that I really liked maybe was like, oh gosh, I'm trying to think. I mean, like, I don't know. I did kind of like, I liked Kara's death because she got what was coming to her, you
Oh
know,
yeah.
like she just, and then like, I just like how they're communicating with the board of directors and it's like showing like Kara, like her head, so, like she's dead and she got killed and like her head is just like her head's still on her body, but like she's dead and like it's just on this treadmill that she was walking on like earlier that day,
Yeah.
because of course she would. But yeah, I also think this movie, as somebody who has worked in a, I don't know about you, but like I've worked in a corporate setting and all that, and I've had perfectly fine experiences, I guess. But like, I think this movie, I think so many people kind of connect with it in a way, because like it really does feel like that sometimes. Like when you're in a job that you really don't care about, you don't really like that much, but you're doing it to like because you've gotten to a point where you feel fine. You might hate it, but like, you know, but you know it's crushing your soul pretty much.
Makes sense.
And all that. So I just think that I think that's why a fair amount of people like this movie, because you can kind of connect with it in that way. And you can be like, yeah, I know that kind of person. Because you have these different archetypes. You have like, you know, the HR guy who's like the Reaper, even though really somebody who worked in HR myself, HR is not the one who fires you, your manager fires you, but like HR has to do the other behind the scenes work, you know what I mean? But there's that. There's, like I said, Kara, the bitch who kind of got to her level because she just stepped on a bunch of people and knew how to deal with office politics. You have like the assistants, like the first one in the beginning of the movie, and also Meg, who are just kind of these lowly people, but like even they get their own thing where like Meg gets to you say like fuck you Kara, like I'm gonna go and like better myself or whatever, which is cool. And then yeah, you have like Steven Yeun's character Derek, you know, he starts bright eyed and bushy tail out of law school or whatever, and then he's like, this is like you see his progression to how he just feels dead inside, but this is him being able to kind of fight back from that kind of feeling you can get when you're in a corporate setting that is just stifling. And then he gets freedom at the end, which is really cool too.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know? So I really like the archetypes that are set up in here. And I also think from what I understand with Mayhem, this movie was very personal to Joe Lynch because he has had to do that before. He has had to you know, work within big studios and kind of have to do that where he maybe wasn't as fulfilled. And also fun little fact, I don't know how old you are, John, but do you remember the G4 channel by any chance?
No, I don't.
So the G4 channel was a channel back in the day before it would show like cops and cheaters and stuff like that. And it was just called True TV or whatever. G4 was the video game channel. So all the video game stuff would show on this channel. So they had like Attack of the Show was one of the most popular ones, which was like this ridiculous, crazy show, very, very late 2000s. Anyway, but Joe Lynch actually, before he became a filmmaker, worked at G4 as like the creative director. So he has had like corporate experience working job like that. So it's I'm so certain in my heart of hearts that it probably came a little bit from like him kind of aping on like, yeah, no, this is what it's like to work a corporate job and it can fucking suck sometimes. But I think that's what I really like about this film is, you know, when you know you've worked that kind of job or you are in that kind of job or like whatever, you just feel like, oh yeah, fuck them, you know?
One thing I thought was funny that I appreciated with it is, if you look at some of the people in the background, they don't have a red eye. They're just choosing to do this.
Right. Well, I mean, sure. Like, you know, it's not something that hits you right away, but like maybe some of them weren't infected and they were just going along with it, you know? And why
I
the
can
hell not?
absolutely see people doing that if this
Well,
were
you're trying
real.
to live, right? Like, you're trying to, everyone else is out to. And the whole thing is that you aren't held responsible, I think, for when you have the ID7 virus or whatever.
Now, did they say that after that 8 hours, the people who are affected are it's no longer affected, or
That's
because
how long
why
it'll
else?
take. That's how long it'll take for like the thing to like help get everyone not infected, I guess, is what it was.
Because I was thinking, 8 hours seems like a really short quarantine.
I know, right? Like you're just like, oh, okay. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that 8 hours came from let me look in a note real quick. Yeah. I think it was more so that it was like oh yeah, a neutralizing agent was released in the building with an estimated 8 hours for the virus to be obliterated. So that 8 hours is the quarantine because they're releasing the
Makes
thing to
sense.
make everyone okay.
Makes sense. I think that there's only one character that I remember in the film that didn't get to have a moment for them of their own, which is the character that I don't even know what the name of the character was, but the girl that that Derek helped at the beginning of the film, and then who told him about this mess up happening, and after that scene of her telling him about it, I don't think she appears again.
I don't think she does really either. That's either probably Jenny or Brenda or some person. I think she was just kind of a throwaway character, really. But no, I that's fair. And you kind of wish, but you know, that she would get
Don't know.
more.
I
Yeah.
like, yeah, I was just thinking, But like everyone else in the film seems to have like like moments of their own, but but just randomly heard seems like she didn't get really anything, and it felt like she was going to be a big character at the beginning of it.
Yeah, and I think that thing was also kind of I guess if anything, that's where Meg comes in because Meg is working a different job. She's still an assistant, but she's working under someone who has more power. So like, but I think as somebody who has also kind of been an assistant before as well, it's one of those things where you kind of yeah, they both have the same kind of job. It's just depending on what you're doing, I guess. But yeah, no, that's fair. You kind of wonder, like, I wonder what happened to that girl.
One that I really enjoyed, it's really simple, but just of Melanie Samara Weaving's character. Or she's just holding her staple gun and going dun 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 dun.
She's just like, yeah, she's
Like, I
humming like
loved
Megadeth or whatever. Oh yeah.
that. That was
Yeah.
hilarious.
Yeah, she's like scoping out the bathroom to like make sure nobody kills Derek or something. Like that is so funny. I also like when they're in Kara's office and so him and Kara are talking, like Derek and Kara are talking, mommy and daddy, if you will. And anyway, so they're talking to each other and she is yelling for Meg and she says, Meg. And then Samara Weaving Melanie's character, she's just like, yeah, Meg. Like she's making fun of her the whole time. And it's so funny. That is like Samara Weaving. First off, Samara Weaving is an icon, a legend in the moment. Okay.
I love Samara Weaving. I've not seen a single thing she's been in that I did not absolutely love.
Oh my God. Like literally in this, in our next film we're going to talk about, the opening of Scream 6, which I am not the biggest so I like the Scream film, but like I didn't love 5 or 6, right? I went into the theaters and saw those bitches. But like I was mid on either of them. But let me tell you something. Seeing Samara Weaving in that opening, I was like, you better do it, bitch. You better do it. And she's got a scream on her too. Ooh. Ooh, I need you in more horror, baby. I need you in more horror.
I didn't even realize that she appeared in one of the Scream films. I've
Yeah, she's in
watched
the
all of
opening of
them, but
6. Yeah, she's in the opening of 6.
like between like this, what we're reviewing next, next the Babysitter films, and also like her in Guns Akimbo. I just
Okay.
absolutely love everything I've seen her in.
Yeah.
She just has an absolutely great a personality. Like I feel like she is probably one of the a like feeling most like a modern action hero among most actors these days, I would say.
Sure. I mean, I don't, yeah, I mean, I
Like
can
it's
understand
not
that.
it, like most of her stuff is more horror action, but not but still still like she just has that vibe to her, or I think of action hero-y.
Yeah, no, totally. I think she is such, I mean, she is this final girl in the next movie we'll talk about, but like, you know, I do like her a lot. You know who she gives me? You know what she gives me? And I think it's because they're both Australian too, but like she gives me like her and Margot Robbie. Like they literally, I'm just like, first off,
I'm
they
sorry,
sort of
I'm
look
pretty sure
similar. Just let's be
I'm
real. Like they look a little the same, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's like the joke among a lot of people for a long time about the fact that they look similar, and that and because of that they had I'm pretty sure it was just for like one scene or so, the two of them both appear in Babylon. On Have you ever heard of of that?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it. It's like 3 hours, dude. Like, I don't know.
I
I'll
understand.
do it. I'll watch it. But
It's
like,
the
yeah.
thing. It's definitely not a film for everyone. It's on. It is.
That
In.
sounds up my alley.
Well, okay. When, things like what we're reviewing today are things that are definitely not for everyone. But this is more along in the lines of like. It's very. It can be very serious and dull at points. Points as with a lot of period piece films like that is.
I kind of like that they're both in it, though. Oh, now that makes me just want to watch it a little
Yeah,
bit.
I'm
I'll do the 3 hours.
if I remember right, it's like I because the film is about old timey Hollywood, and Margot Robbie's character is an actress. If I remember right, I think it was either Samara Weaving was playing a double for her for this actress character in the film, or either that or Margot Robbie's is the actress character got replaced in a film by another actress played by Samara Weaving, if I remember right.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, and you know what's funny too is like, I mean, I don't know if they knew each other beforehand, but I'm just like, oh girl, you must have had to have known each other beforehand. Not saying every Australian knows each other, like not necessarily that, but like I'm just like, 'cause yeah, baby, like Samara Weaving could have been Barbie. I'm sorry. Like
I
she
mean,
just
yeah.
could have been.
Oh yeah.
Like she absolutely, but she's having her own little path, and I appreciate that for her, you know?
And she's been I've seen I looked at her IMDb and it looks like she's been branching out from horror lately, but I just hope she does keeps doing more horror alongside the branching out, because I absolutely love her in the horror stuff.
Yeah, I do too, and I really want her to do more horror stuff. And you know, sometimes we get those babes who do that, which I love. And you know, they if anything, they still like the genre. They just want to do more,
So
and I'm not mad at it for her.
I thought about something earlier today that I want to ask what you think of this idea. So it was recently announced that Lionsgate, I think it was, is trying to develop a remake of American Psycho. How would you feel about Samara Weaving as the star of that?
So like a gendered swap American Psycho.
Like, I feel like
Oh.
she could do that role really well.
Okay, so to answer your question, I would probably watch the shit out of that. Anything could be better. Any John, I'm telling you, anything could be better than American Psycho 2 All American Girl
I've
with
heard about
Mila
that.
Kunis.
I've heard about that film, and it does not look
Now,
good.
and yeah, no, that movie is horrible. But with I will say this though, that apparently, because even Mila Kunis, we don't like her right now because her and her husband decided to support a rapist. Anyway, but in this movie, I've watched it like 2 times. But I don't think it was meant to be an American Psycho movie, and then they kind of tacked it on,
And
is what it seems like.
wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Because American Psycho is okay. It's not my favorite movie in the world or anything. It really isn't. But I
It's a
don't
weird
mind it.
film.
It is a weird film, but like it, I don't mind it. I actually think it's pretty decent. It was directed by a woman and all this, right?
I enjoyed it somewhat, but just the whole time I was just like, what?
Right, right. Because is it all in his head and like all this? Right. But what
And
I
I
think
couldn't
is.
follow things for a
Yeah,
lot of it.
it's tough to get in that. You almost have to read an article afterwards. I get it. But what I will say is that I think the thing, actually, I would recommend, if anything, for any listeners or for you as well, John, definitely hit up Haunted Hippie on YouTube, Kylie, because there's a video that she does a little deep dive into American Psycho, because she actually really likes that movie. But she deep dives into it, and all of this good stuff. And the thing about it is, and I kind of gleaned from her episode, her little review on it, or review slash like deep dive of it, that the thing about, and Chelsea from Dead Meat, that's one of her favorite horror movies too. But the thing is like, I think Samara Weaving could work for that. And the reason is because Patrick Bateman as a character is a fucking loser. Like, he's not cool, like at all. But he is kind of touted as being in a weird way, but it's like, no, he's not cool, like at all. And I think like Christian Bale, I think, did such a good job with that role. But like, I think if anything, like you got to show this woman who would be, you know, Patricia Bateman or whatever. You got to show her as like Oh, she's not cool. Like, she's not like somebody to aspire to be. You know what I mean? So the tone would have to be there where if they're going to remake it at all, ever. Because the fucking book is like written by a gay man and like it's misogynistic, apparently, whatever. Apparently, a lot of people like the movie more than they do the book, really, which I kind of
Which
get,
is,
but like, yeah.
I mean, if the problem with the book is it's misogynistic, so they like the movie better. That seems like a weird reason
It is weird,
when
right?
the movie is very misogynistic.
It is, but I it is, but the thing is like I honestly, and I will say this a million times over, not saying that every woman director is like prolific and amazing, because there are some shitty women directors, I'm sure. But the way that she did that, Mary Harron, like it works. Like it just, because yeah, there is a lot of that. And you're just like, how do you do this? But like, I really do think, like, you know, if anything, like, the tone has to be there if they're going to do an ever gender swapped thing of that, which would be interesting to see. Why not?
I mainly just like I thought of it as like obvious. She can do that crazed as kind of character or and also we've seen her covered in blood and it looks amazing.
Absolutely. And I think like that's the thing with Patrick Bateman is he is a goddamn psychopath. So you need somebody who can also play a psychopath. And I feel like in a way, I feel like Samara Weaving could absolutely do that.
It's a film that like I know a lot of people they don't they needs a needs a remake and I would be fine if it didn't get a remake, but if it's gonna get one, I think doing something that I gender swapping it with a amazing actress like Samara Weaving is definitely the way to go to make it be a little bit different.
I think so too, but I think also it's like, how do you translate that into being a woman, you know? And what does that look like if you're going to set it in the 80s as well? I just kind of
Well,
wonder about those things.
I'm pretty sure what I read said that what they're planning on trying to do is it being a modern day thing.
Okay. And it's just a matter of putting it in modern times and kind of seeing what you can glean from that as well to be like, yeah, but I'm all about trying to find I'm all about, you know, what is it, the House of Psychotic Women. I'm always into that kind of thing, and I always want a movie where it's like, you know, is this woman going crazy or is she not, or is she doing this or that, you know? I want to see other things with, you know, women leads and all that, you know. So I always want to see people taking
Definitely.
risks.
Is there anything else for the day that we should talk about with Mayhem before we move on to the other film?
I don't think so. I will also say, if you want to spend a fun 2 hours, I would also recommend watching the Joe Lynch interview he did on the Dead Meat channel, because I've watched that a couple of times. And for any listeners out there, yeah, Joe Lynch just seems like a really cool dude. He's friends with that James and Chelsea on that channel nowadays, but you know, I think that it's really interesting to hear him talk about film, because you can just see how much of a lover of the genre he is. And it's just a good time. So to kind of wrap up with Mayhem, and he talks a little bit about like some behind the scenes stuff with Mayhem and all of that, which is really cool
That's
too.
really
So I
cool.
would highly recommend. And also maybe check out the commentary he did on Shudder as well, because they do have that on there.
I definitely check that out. All right, so let's get into Ready or Not. This film, I also absolutely loved this film. It's so much fun. So for this film, how I actually like found it was I was told that I would probably like this as I was enjoying a lot of like house related horror films back in December, and I remember and I asked on Twitter, does anyone have any a suggestion for me? And someone and suggested this, and so I watched it and I fell in love with the movie. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I also, for me, it looks like I watched this. Funny enough, I watched it two times, once recently for this podcast, but then also apparently I watched it in February of 2022. So I watched it in February's, which is fun.
Okay.
It did. I gave it a five when I first watched it. And all I said was just, please marry me, Sivamar Weaving, even though I'm a homosexual man, but I don't care. We could still do that. And it brought down like to a four for me. But I will say, I do think this is a good time. I recently actually just saw a review. It was from a couple years ago from a YouTuber, The Misfit Pond. He has really cool content as well, but he does not like this movie really at all. And fair enough. Like, I'm not gonna say you have to like every single movie.
Definitely.
I think a lot of what his criticisms were, you can check out his video before it, but that there isn't much passion behind this, and there's a lot that you could go into about this, but overall, for me at least, my opinion, I do like it. I think it's a fun time. It's not blow my mind amazing necessarily. I get it. However, I do think like it's a super good time. And also, I mean, I can only
And
Samara Weaving's right there. Come on. I gotta like her.
definitely. I just like with Mayhem, I love her character in this. Two other characters I really liked in this were Daniel, and which is, I'm pretty sure, the good son. And Fitch. I found Fitch really funny.
Yeah, the butler guy.
No,
Or
Fitch
no, yeah,
is
you're right. The one guy. Yeah, you're right.
it is the it let me I pull the picture. It's this
He I think
actor.
entered. Yes, I think he entered the family. I don't think he got married to one of the he got married to the chick who keeps shooting people. Yes.
Yeah, there's actually yeah, so he got married to this lady who keeps shooting people, and which I did not I didn't love that character, but she was fu really funny. I definitely hated Daniel's wife. Like, she's way too into this.
She's beautiful and gorgeous. Oh my God, so beautiful. But like, yeah, no, she was I don't know. She was definitely a weird one where you're like, girl, you're a little too it. Yeah, you're a
You're like,
little
whoa,
too
you're
intense.
why do you want to do this so badly? Not even the rest of the members of the family want to do it as badly as you, except for the creepy old lady.
Oh no, Anne Helene, we love her. Oh my God, I love her so much. But yeah, no, she is definitely on Anne Helene's. She and Anne Helene are like right on the same page, but everyone else is like, oh God, like, they have a little bit of their doubts.
It's funny the the different different interactions between characters. Like, you have after killing multiple people, Fitch's wife, I've just gets just goes to her mom and dad, like, and then just like, oh, you're all right, you're all right, it's okay that you did this.
I know, right?
And there's all, but they also they're very okay with telling Fitch that they don't like him. It's
Oh my
like,
God, they're just like, yeah, fuck you
what
pretty
did
much.
Fitch
Yeah.
do to make
I
you not like
know.
him?
I know, right? And of course, like Annie McDowell in this movie, who plays the mom in the movie. I mean, of course, she's like beautiful and gorgeous, but like, yeah, it's just like one of these things. And I think also because she married into it, didn't she? I think she married into it.
I think so.
Yeah. Because the dad was there, but she married into it. So yeah.
It's funny how they how like start of the film, they make it seem like these masks are a part of everything, are of everything, and we just find out later, oh no, it was just the 80s.
No, they just say it's just for the presentation. It nothing to do with
The
it. They're just wearing them because it was the 80s. Why not?
yeah, I'm guessing that the head of the family back then was a fan of slasher films, so he decided to
Maybe,
do that. Since slasher
perhaps.
films were big in the 80s.
I know, right? They're just like, well, I guess we'll just do this. Why not? Yeah. Back to the Emily, her name is the daughter in the movie. It's funny because like she's in this film, but I also just covered earlier on my show this month, I covered a movie called Nurse 3D from 2014. And she's also in that movie. She plays a preppy HR lady. And it's so funny to see her in this movie because that was all done in Canada, I believe. And I think this was too, because there's a
I
lot of
wouldn't be
Canadian people in it.
surprised.
Yeah, there's a lot of, yeah, like Charity, who's the one girl, she's like a Canadian actress. Melanie Scrofano, who plays the Emily girl, she's also Canadian. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
Kristen and Braun, who played Fitch, is I know is from Canada.
Yes. So got some mix in there, but then you have like Samara Weaving and like Adam Brody and all that
Which,
kind of stuff.
if anyone likes the character of Fitch, I bet you would enjoy. Christian Braun is also in a TV show called Orphan Black, and his character in that it feels exactly the same.
I haven't really watched Orphan Black, but okay, cool. Nice, nice.
Let's see. I loved when Sam just throws the teapot onto the I can't even think of the butler. I guess that was really
Stevens.
great.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. Well, because she's in survival mode at
Oh
that
yeah,
point. Yeah.
it was funny his reaction. He's covering one eye, but then still trying to eye to hit her with a knife with the other. Even though I don't think he actually has to do anything in this scenario because he's not a part of the family. He's just very willing to help them out.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what the funny thing is like, why is, I guess because he's so indebted to them or whatever. But yeah, it's like, you know, it's him and then the other the model, like the maids that are all just models. And they all just die unceremoniously.
I
Rest in
mean,
peace to
when
them. I loved them.
the maid that went into a
Dumbwaiter.
dumbwaiter, did she press the button or did Sam press the button?
I think she pressed the button, if I'm not
Why did
mistaken.
she press
Because plot. Like, I don't know.
the
She just,
button?
I don't know, man. Like, I
That
just,
was so funny.
she didn't mean to, but oh well, now she's cut in half and dead.
Oh man, I loved when Sam broke out and she gets to the road, someone just drives past her and she has this really long insult towards him. Like, that was hilarious to me.
Oh my God, yeah, because she's literally, yeah, because by this point she's escaped the house. Like her new husband is like has helped her in some way, but like she has done all this, like she has this tear across her back and everything, and like this, she's just like screaming with that beautiful scream that Samara Weaving has. She's like screaming, and then she just, yeah, like this guy just like passes her, and oh, just yeah, it was a great string of insults.
So I was thinking about earlier today while watching was so I feel like they you should before actually marrying someone on I would say I would want to try every possible other way of doing a quote unquote marriage to make sure let's see if one of those that you can just get away with it like it kind of seems to me like it's supposed to be like Christian marriage and so I would be like I'm gonna try to do the most unholy holy marriage possible. We're gonna make sure or we don't have gender norms with our with the people that next to us. We'll have a woman be the person is marrying us. Us will we will make sure that things being read are not the are not what you would a normal marriage would have. Heck, instead of having people in suits, we'll have people in superhero costumes just to make sure
Hell
it's the
yeah.
most different from what from the normal thing. And also, I would have my family at it if they're like this, and it's just every possible thing to make it so it is would be considered unholy to make it in hopes that maybe that won't won't. LaBelle won't notice it.
I know, right? Because you end up finding out at the end of the movie, that really I think it's all for Satan anyway. So
Yeah,
you're kind of
true.
like, oh, like, okay, fine, I guess.
Oh, which I was looking up what LaBelle man means, and apparently it's apparently it is a Hebrew anagram, and that's supposed to be that would mean in English is the demon themselves or the demon itself, something like that.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It's between in it being signed from Hebrew and them saying Hail Satan is what made me think it's probably supposed to be a marriage in the eyes of God is why I would try to I'd make it be sad. God would not be not accept.
Yeah, he's not coming anytime soon. He's not sanctioning this whatsoever.
It's absolutely hilarious how disinterested the whole film Daniel is. It's great. Like especially when he just comes into the room and he's like, "I'm just here to get a drink. I don't
Yeah.
care."
Yeah. And it's funny because like you think, oh, okay, like you kind of don't know what to think of Daniel at first, I guess, because you're kind of like, oh, okay. And then with the husband character, Daniel, and then who's the other one? What's his name? Oh
Alex, I
God.
believe, is it?
Alex, yeah. Yeah, because you don't know how to think of Daniel for a while, right? And then Alex is the one that she's marrying, right? So like you think like, oh, okay, like Alex is cool, I guess, too, right? Like that's great. And then you find out that he's not, he's a scrub ass bitch, you know what I mean? But like Daniel was actually the real one who just was over this whole thing.
I honestly like feel so bad for Daniel that Elka is like he had to, he has a terrible person for a wife and wife and he it's very obvious he does not love her of her after finding out all this about her.
Yeah, no, totally. And it's like, he, I guess, loved her at one point, but then it's like, she has just kind of, I guess that's also kind of what they're trying to comment on in a way, which again, whether or not it's successful is debatable, I guess, but like, it's very much like, look how the rich are so different and how they're just not all that ethical, because really, I mean, a lot of the time when it comes to anybody being rich like that, the question of how you got all that money kind of comes into play, and there are no ethical billionaires kind of a thing, so it's kind of like, what happened here?
It's I love at the very end of the film just the shot of her sitting of Sam sitting down, blood covering her, the place is just on fire behind her. That was great. And when they asked what happened here, in-laws.
Oh, it's so good. I personally enjoy when they're like almost, because we find out that like the whole thing is that they all think they're gonna die if they don't sacrifice her, but they didn't sacrifice her, they didn't get to. And I just love how like there's a scene where she has like scissors and she just already had her yell when she's like all this, but then like Daniel, or no, not Daniel, Daniel's dead by then, but Adam, he's all like trying to do it, she's just like you know, and I just love that. It was just very funny to me. It's just little details.
It's oh yeah, it's great. No, one thing I think I would say against the film is I feel like if you're going to if you make a deal with a demon, I don't think the demon would make it be that easy for you that that it's just everybody else is going after one person that's hiding. I feel like the demon would have wanted to make it be more of a challenge for them. Obviously, in this particular time, it ended up being a challenge. But normally, I'm pretty sure it's not a challenge really at all because of how many people they have.
So you kind of wonder, like, why does it have to be? Why does hide and seek have to be this way? Like, really?
Yeah,
Like, what the hell?
I feel like I if I were the demon, I would be like for this hide and seek. You have a disadvantage, not the other way around. It's and so make it so it's harder for them to be able to survive each year or each time someone enters the family.
Yeah, no, totally. And yeah, and what's crazy about it too is that like it's a game of chance, really, which is funny because it's all about games. But like it's a game of chance because like literally, like I think one of the people, I think it was the coke addicted girl, but like I think even Fitch was like, I had to play like old maid or something, and all they had to do was play old maid. But like just so happens that Grace chose hide and seek, you know? It's like, ugh.
It makes me wonder with the other games, is it simply there's only actually the Bale only cares about when they're doing hide and seek, or is it or can or would they also die if the new person joining the family beat the rest of them in backgammon or the old maid or checkers?
Exactly. You're kind of like, where is it all coming from? Which again, maybe wasn't as fleshed out, but like that's fine. But yeah, I think it also ties into like the beginning of the film where you see Daniel and Adam as kids, and that was the last time they played hide and seek. And so now it just so happens that like this time playing hide and seek is, you know, the whole crux of the film.
No, it was great when we saw see the scene where Daniel's asked like, what do you remember from back then? And he's like, I remember everything. We deserve to die. Like, I loved that moment. And particularly after they have after the kid gets up and is like, oh, I shot her on her. Like, particularly after that, I feel like you can feel with Daniel being like, yeah, if you guys are teaching even kids to think that they should kill people, oh well, yes, maybe you all should die.
Yeah, it's kind of like there's a skewed thing there. Totally. Yeah, I mean, I think this film was pretty decent. I kind of wonder, so you've seen this movie, and of course Samara Weaving's an icon, but have you also seen the movie You're Next?
Yes, I believe so. That's the one where they have people are trying to break into a
Yes.
house. I watched that the same week. Like I watched these. I absolutely loved that as well.
Yeah, it's a good one. I really like that one too, because there's also kind of this like comparison people make of it. And Barbara Crampton's in that one too, which is really wonderful.
Which like these fun kind of horror films are really the kind of stuff that I love watching like a lot of the more serious horror films that are trying to go really deep I end up being like I don't know how this isn't nearly as enjoyable as what as the kind of horror films that I like.
Yeah, no, totally. So are you talking about like the things that are sometimes it feels like it's like a literal 90-minute metaphor kind of a thing?
Yeah, it's
Like, is that what you're talking about?
things like though I think it was made well, but something like Midsommar or a lot of A24 horror films where it's like and just anything where they're trying to do something really deep and deep, it just feels like to me like a little pretentious instead of just trying to have fun with the concept of horror and like those films definitely have a place and they are made really well. It's just as things like this as of like Ready or Not, Your Next, the X Mayhem are more the kind of taste that I have for horror.
Totally, I can understand that, and I think like if anything, I definitely can understand that, and I think with A24, it's not that they just do horror; they've done
Oh
other
yeah,
films as
obviously.
well.
Obviously, and I love a lot of A24 films. I even I liked Ike Midsommar are in that I think it's a really well-made film. But I think just the kind of feel of films like that where where it feels like they're trying to make something Oscar-worthy instead of just having fun with the idea of horror and doing something lot more
Yeah,
unique and thoughtful.
I go off of also with those films, especially of Ari Aster's, because I haven't seen Beau Is Afraid yet, but I'm planning to. But with Midsommar and Hereditary, I mean, I do like those films, but they're definitely different things, and they are horror. But I also think, like, especially with Midsommar, that's very much a breakup movie that just so happens to have a cult element in it. And then with Hereditary, that's a and what you say with Oscar bait, I get what you're saying, but I also don't think that those would have,
I mean,
unfortunately, they were never considered.
I don't think I don't when I call things Oscar baity, like it's like I don't actually think of that as a bad thing, just that there's a kind of feel to them that's to them where it's more trying to be a serious and it's not actually trying to scare you or you it's supposed to be deeper, more drama to it and it's not a bad thing. It's just there's certain films that give off a feel like that to me.
Sure, I can understand that too. I mean, like I said, with Hereditary, for example, it's a horror film, I guess, but it's also just a deep melt. It's a family drama at the end of the day, like more so than it is horror. It's just that there are horrifying elements in it. And then with Midsommar, yeah, it's like a that's more of like a breakup movie that is also like, it just so happens that it takes place with a cult, So, but I get what you're saying. And then also things like The Lighthouse, like what the hell is that?
I think I've found that I find more of these like fun horror films that I really enjoy lately for more indie stuff off versus things that are more mainstream are lately are the ones trying to be really deep and that's and like I actually kind of like that because it's getting me to watch more indie stuff.
Agreed. Yeah. And it's always kind of been that way, I feel like. So, for example, like, yeah, I do think a lot of these films, like Ready or Not, Mayhem, You're Next, there are some fun things in there, but it's always cool to see other films, like even back from the day, it's like, I love something like Night of the Creeps. Like, that movie is so fun. And so, yeah.
Interesting. I have to check that out. I know I watched I watched last October and I ended up absolutely loving this film from either the 80s or the 90s called Night of the Demons. I
Oh,
really
that one
enjoyed
is
that.
amazing. Oh my God. Night of the Demons is such a badass movie.
It's the exact kind of campy horror that I love.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you. I also really like it too. I'm gonna do an episode on it probably later this year, but Yeah, Night of the Demons rocks. Don't watch the remake. It's not that good. So don't worry about it.
I don't care much about watching the remake, but I probably will at some point watch like the sequels that the
Oh, you can watch those
one
probably.
like I've because
Three.
those things look
Yeah.
like they're also just as ridiculous as the first one.
Apparently, three is garbage, but apparently, two is not terrible.
Okay.
So I haven't seen them, but I love Night of the Demons, so I own
It's
that.
great.
And it's good. Yeah, like Night of the Creeps, I think, is also really fun. It's like alien stuff a little bit, but it's very aware. It's kind of aware of itself, and I think it's
Nice.
done very well. But yeah, I can definitely understand having fun with horror stuff. I also sometimes think with like, even something like House of Wax from 2005. Like I actually really liked that one. And you could talk whatever about remakes and horror remakes, especially of the time, but I think like House of Wax was actually a pretty decent film. Because it does have a fun to it. And not just seeing Paris Hilton die, but like it was just also like, I don't know. There's something about it that I remember seeing that in the theater, and like I have not really watched it a whole lot since, but I do kind of want to get back into it. And yeah, just having these more fun things. And yeah, it can definitely feel now like, oh, these movies are just trying to like teach you, like try to be a 90-minute metaphor or like however the fuck long thing and whatever. And there can be a place for some stuff like
Right
that, but
now,
I think
I
it's a matter of like how well done it is. But also, I think it's really cool to see other people doing really cool stuff too. I just watched on Netflix recently. I just watched a movie called They Cloned Tyrone on Netflix. That movie like
I've heard a lot of
ripped.
good things about that.
Yeah, that movie ripped because it was it's all black cast pretty much. Kiefer Sutherland's in it as like the villain, I guess. But yeah, it's a wild ride. And but you can see that like this was a movie that again has this like diverse cast of black folks, but also like there is so many like kind of homages slash like reference to like blaxploitation cinema and all that kind of cool stuff that But again, that only came out on Netflix, and you kind of wish, like, why the hell can't something like that come out in theaters? And it's also just hopefully being able to see other things. But you know what? That's also the business that's
Oh,
changing. It's
definitely.
like, I don't go to the cinema like that, So it's like, I'd rather watch something on streaming, and hopefully it'll be good. And if it's not, then you're like, well, I guess I just wasted some time, whatever.
Yeah, definitely. Another one that's some other ones that are along these the lines of films like this this or ne your next Extra Mayhem that I really enjoyed. I and both of these are films that I included in the list of films that you could choose from. Vicious Fun and The Night Sitter. Those are also were ones that I watched for the first time back in December, and I absolutely loved those. Vicious Fun is about this out a horror blog writer who accidentally goes to a meeting of serial killers, which was really fun. And The Night Sitter was about out this person who is pretending to be a babysitter to steal from this family, but while they're trying to steal from this family, some supernatural force were started being summoned in the house. Yeah, it's like both of those, like they're so much fun on and the and I found that a lot of these like fun on little horror films are that I really enjoy. And it really surprised me. I just keep finding these on Tubi, of all places.
Tubi is kind of amazing in that way, where you're able to kind of have like even so for example, like I watched however long ago, I don't remember how long ago, but I watched Terror Train, the remake that they did on Tubi. And have you ever seen the original one from the 80s?
I've never seen either. I didn't even, I've never heard of that.
So the original one is with Jamie Lee Curtis in it, and it's from the 80s. These college kids end up, what is it? They end up going on this train ride on New Year's Eve, I think, and then there's a killer on the train and all this. So there's that, but then also like this new one that they did is pretty much that, I guess, but like it's a little bit different because it's modern times. But Tubi, it's a Tubi original. So they did this, and then they did Terror Train 2, which does not exist in the original movie because whatever. But yeah, it's very Canadian, because there's a lot of Canada people in it. But I actually, honestly, I'm not the hugest Terror Train person like the original. And to be honest, I've seen both, and the remake was not that bad. Like really,
Nice.
like it's not, it's Tubi quality, I guess, quote unquote. But like, yeah. But I also love good old shout out to I Hope You Suffer. That's a wonderful podcast out there for
Nice.
kind of bad movies and stuff. Nathan and Kit and Katie, they're great people. I've had Nathan on my show, but even some of the stuff that they've seen or like talked about, like I don't think they've talked about Terror Train, but like I want to watch Shark Side of the Moon. Like I want to see that. That just seems like it's cool. It's a Tubi original. Why the hell not, you know?
A film that I watched very recently that I ended up having a lot of fun with that is definitely along these lines of low budget horrors and horrors and particularly a some that are aware of themselves. A film called Bad CGI Gator is hilariously weird and weird, and it makes fun of horror tropes and particularly bad horror tropes, and it's ups and it ended up being a lot of fun and for and you it uses the a bad CGI killer gator in some pretty funny ways.
I love that. That sounds kind of good. Yeah, I'm also here for any kind of like shark movie. Not all shark movies, but I mean, I do have a special place in my heart for Santa Jaws, of course. But yeah, some of the like weird ass shark movies that they have. I've watched some of the Sharknado movies, and I could take or leave those, to be honest. But yeah, I think that kind of speaks to just like, I think being able to have like these people go out and make something cool, you know, and you know, when you don't have to necessarily answer to a studio, you're kind of doing it independently. I do think there is some value to that. Whether the product itself is going to be good or not, it kind of varies, but you know, subjective, it's so subjective. What is good, kind of a thing. And also there's that's I think what then turns into, you know, these kind of like underrated movies or these kind of cult films, if you will. You know, and I yeah. And then you wonder sometimes, you're like, yeah, these things like went under the radar or they were independent and nobody really knew about them. But then you watch them back and you're just like, this was rad. I just watched a movie in December. And it's from the 80s. It's called One Dark Night. And that was, do you know who Tom McLaughlin is by any chance?
No, I don't.
Okay. Have you ever seen the Friday the 13th movies?
I've seen in a bunch of them. I haven't seen all of them though.
Okay. Have you seen Part Six, Jason Lives? The one where Tommy Jarvis comes back and he's Tom Matthews from Return of the Living Dead?
So the let me see real quick what the last one I watched was.
I think it was
I
Zombie
know that
Jason.
I don't think I've seen in that one. The last one I saw was A New Beginning.
Oh, okay. The fifth one.
Yeah.
The fifth one, you know what I will say? I actually like the fifth one. What did you think about it?
I think it was all right. I the it's not amazing, but amazing, but for having having one that doesn't have Jason in it, I thought it was all right, and I thought they didn't decently trying to make it feel unique among on all of them so far, are what I've seen.
I agree. I agree. The side characters in that movie are the ones that are so interesting to me, because that's where you have Demon and his girlfriend, the guy who gets killed in the little porta potty, who's the brother of the little black guy at the camp or whatever, played by Miguel A. Nunez. We love him. But then you also have the two leather daddies that are driving somewhere. You got them, who are absolutely a gay couple. You have the guy and his crazy mom. You have Lana and her coked out boyfriend. That whole movie, I actually kind of liked A New Beginning. Some people hated it because it's the not Jason one, but I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
Anyway,
okay.
back to Tom McLaughlin though. So Tom McLaughlin directed the sixth one. Good movie. And One Dark Night is just a movie where, it came out and it I don't think it was hugely notable or whatever, but it has you know who Jennifer Tilly is, right? You must know.
Yeah,
Do you know her
she's
sister? Do you know who her sister is?
I don't think her sister, but I'm looking right now and it's Meg
Yeah.
Tilly.
Yes. She was in Psycho 2. She was also in the 1993 Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And she was also in she's just iconic and we love her. And she literally looks like her sister. It's crazy. Actually, I think her sister's a little older than her, but anyway, but she's in this movie. Adam West is in this movie, playing a bit. Obviously, this was 83 or 82, so he was younger. E.G. Daly, who's the voice of Tommy Pickles and Buttercup from the Powerpuff Girls, is also in the movie in a live action role. But I think that movie is so fun. It's just this girl who, is staying a night at a mausoleum, and there's a prank going on and all this shit. But anyway, it's a weird ass movie, and I just kind of wonder. I'm like, this could absolutely get a remake nowadays. You know what I mean? And maybe they could do something cool with it, And I don't know. I think it's also just the model of how we do things now. Cinemas are kind of unfortunately, it's a business that's struggling, and you kind of hope that horror is always kind of there as horror movies a lot of the times will make money, whether they're good or not. Because we do want to go see stuff. We want to be able to support this cool genre, right? But also it's this thing of is it going to be quality, and is it going to be something worth spending your time and money on? You know what I mean? And so sometimes it is a lot easier to just throw something on Tubi or to have something going right to streaming. But then you look at these things and sometimes you're like, wow, that was a whole piece of shit. But then also it's there's some cool stuff. I would love if they put Dayclone Tyrone in theaters. That'd be so cool. It's that. And or even you also saw it last year. I didn't see it in theaters, and maybe I'll watch it at some point. But Talk to Me, obviously did super fucking well. So it just shows that it's kind of it's a weird business of film. You know what I
Oh
mean?
yeah, definitely. I think that there are a lot of films that are like streaming films where if they did put them in theaters, like they would end up being very successful. But then, sadly, the studio didn't have enough faith in them, so they just dropped it on a streaming service,
Yeah,
which is
that's
sad.
true. Yeah, and it's so weird with some stuff too. For example, people really, I don't know what you thought about the movie Smile. Did you see Smile by any
I have not.
chance? So I actually like Smile. Kevin Bacon's daughter is in it. Kyle Gallner, my love, he's lovely. He's in it. Did you ever watch Scrubs ever? Did you ever watch that show?
No, I haven't seen that. I've wanted to. I wanted to because it does sound like it'll be. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I've seen the dynamic between Donald Faison and
Yeah,
whoever that
Faison.
other guy is.
Zach Braff.
Yeah, Zach Braff. I find it
Yeah.
absolutely hilarious.
Former Mr. Florence Pugh, I think, which is kind of cool. But anyway, but yeah, but one of the nurses on that show is in it. So like, but Smile was actually pretty cool. But actually, funny enough, Smile was supposed to be in a Paramount Plus original, and then it, I guess, got legs, and it was able to go in the theaters, and it kind of hit, which was really cool. But then you have something like that, but then you also have like Significant Other. I don't know if you've heard of that one, but that's on Paramount Plus, and that has Micah Monroe from It Follows, and also Jake Lacy, who was in The White Lotus, and they're like a couple or whatever. And that's a really interesting story, but that never came out in theaters. It's always just weird of like what will hit and what won't, and yeah, and it's unfortunately it's all about money nowadays, and not necessarily all about talent,
No,
you know.
I remember the other day. It was absolutely hilarious seeing, as you've probably seen the saga of the Coyote versus Acme thing with Warner Bros. Others, and how and it's absolutely hilarious that they tried saying in their earnings call, "We are the only studio who purely cares about storytelling." Really? Really?
And that's such bullshit because, like, not that I know everything about that or whatever, but it's so crazy that, like, some of these streaming services, and that's why physical media is so important because, again, we all cannot always open our purse. We got to pinch our pennies. I get it. But at the same time, it's like, something like Coyote versus Acme or whatever it's called, the fact that we don't even know if we'll ever be able to see it. And I don't know who, I only know that Lana Condor is involved with that movie, but Lana Condor is a goddamn icon. Like, she has been so good. Asian actress, was in like all of these To All the Boys I Loved Before movies, that were wildly successful on Netflix. And this was like kind of a chance for her after having been in the not very good received X-Men Apocalypse, even though she's fantastic in it, but it's something where like, who's to say like if we'll ever see that now? And that's just such bullshit. And they could just write it off as in their taxes and be like, oh, it's just a loss.
It's weird. It's so weird to me. I like one, obviously this is about money, but at the same time, if you release that now, after all this whole saga, it's guaranteed to make money because people will want to see it just because there was a chance they couldn't see it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it does happen, and that's also just like it's true. And then also things like I don't know if I'm saying it right, but Batgirl, is that the name of the movie?
Yeah, Batgirl.
Yeah, Batgirl, the one that they literally shot and like everything, and that young girl, whoever the hell she is, I'm sure she's great, but like she's literally the lead of this movie. She did everything, and now only people are going to know her because she was going to be Batgirl. And now it's just like, not saying that'll ruin her career or whatever. It's not probably, but like, it's these things of like, wow, I did all this fucking work and for what? Like, it's so crazy to me. And then also you have like, but you're totally right with that. I think like, I do think you have a point there because like, I think also people are interested sometimes in like, not lost films, kind of lost media, really. There's whole like YouTube channels about it, blame it on
No,
Jorge
definitely.
and like all of that, where people are like,
Wait.
do you remember this thing? Or like Reddit threads and shit. But even on movies and like in horror and stuff, like, I covered on a podcast I was on, the Horror Queer podcast. We covered all about Evil, and I don't know if you know anything about that movie, but it was made by a drag queen, and it was Peaches Christ is her name. But she made this movie in 2009, 2010, I think it came out. Did a whole roadshow with it and all this, and she was self-producing it, where she was self-releasing it because it never really had a distribution deal. And then literally it kind of went miss. It literally went missing for years. Like, unless you literally had that early DVD, nobody really knew about this movie. It has Thomas Dekker in it, Cassandra Peterson, Elvira, Natasha Lyonne. Like, there's some heavy hitters in that movie. And it kind of just went away for like years and years. And unless you were in the know about it, where if you're like in the queer community or like you just are a fan of Peaches or whatever, you wouldn't know anything about this movie. And then thankfully in 2021 or 2022, I think it was 2022, Shudder was able to bring it back. And I think now it's kind of regained a whole new like of people knowing about it. It then got a release on Severin Films, I think. So it's really interesting to think about these movies that, yeah, like either they are lost, meaning they're just out of print and nobody can find them, and it's kind of hard to get them. Some of Gregor Rocky's movies are also like that, but like there's that, but also like, yeah, some of these things where it's like, what's going to happen to Coyote versus Acme or whatever? Like, I don't even know what that movie's about, but I want to see it. Like, why the hell not?
I think what would be a massively popular thing would be if say Warner Brothers others or any other issue, if they were to create a section on whatever their streaming service is, and it and they just release all of their unreleased stuff in it, I bet they would get a ton of new subscribers because people just want to see these things that they weren't allowed to see before. They didn't have they weren't able to see. Even though a lot of people say it's say they think it's really bad, and they I had and Warner Brothers said that that it was unwatchable. If the, if Warner Brothers released the pilot of the live action action Powerpuff Girls show, I would watch the hell out of that. I've read the script. It's hilariously weird.
Right.
And I would watch it mainly just to be able to say I watched it. I watched this thing that and that previously there was no bit way to be able to watch.
Exactly. Like you want to be able to see this stuff. And the thing is, though, is that, it's so unfortunate that, like, yeah, I wish we could see that kind of stuff. Or what is it about this Coyote versus Acme movie, for example? What is it about it that makes it a loss? Like, why y'all released that stupid Space Jam movie? Like, what the hell? Like,
So from what I've heard, it's most people have seen it say that it's really good, but the one thing that is probably the reason why they're against releasing it is apparently the film makes a lot of points to call out Warner Brothers in it. And of like in like jokes and stuff, so it's so they're and maybe they're Warner Brothers does not want the world to see the a film released by them do that, which is weird because they've already had films that are albums released that make fun of themselves, like that Space Jam movie,
exactly. And then
and
that has this infamous thing of it's so bad, which I haven't seen it. I'm sure it's bad. But like, yeah, what's the difference? Because maybe actually Coyote versus Acme is just a better movie. You know?
Everyone like literally all of the insiders who have seen it have said that it is really good and it's absolutely hilarious and there but the only people who have said like they have any idea of why it could have been this could be happening is people say that that the film makes fun of Warner Brothers and calls out a lot of their shady stuff, which I think that's a really stupid reason to not release it.
Yeah, because I mean at the end of the day, like I don't know, yeah, it's like releasing that, but also it's like, I mean, but there's still an audience out there for it who do want to see that kind of thing, and and who want to see the actors involved and all that. So it sucks that it always comes down to like the almighty dollar, and it comes down to all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, it's unfortunate, especially for the artists that are involved in it, because
Oh, definitely.
it's like, well, damn, like Lana Condor is not going to have that. And like, She'll probably find something else really cool to do, but like,
If I
damn.
was any of the actors, any of the people working on any of these films that that Warner Bros. Is deciding not to release after they've already been finished, I would not want to work with Warner Brothers ever again if I was one of them.
Yeah.
And I think if any of them are and feel like that, they're absolutely valid in not wanting to.
Right, totally. Yeah, and it's like, and they make just so these other stupid movies, like what the hell? Like they have like John Cena, isn't it? I mean, who cares? But like Will Forte, Lana Condor, like I said, Eric Bowes is in it because he is literally all of Warner Brothers' voices. Like James Gunn helped write this. Who's Dave Green? Oh, he did some of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. Like he did one of those. So yeah, like why the hell not? Like,
One last thing I would like to mention about Ready or Not before we end this off is apparently the directors of it are working on a sequel, which is interesting. I don't know exactly how you would do a sequel with this. My only thought for what they could do is make it that now knowing that this is sign that there are rich people who are signing their souls over to a demon, and maybe Sam starts going after rich families, is in the and those families have to be hiding while she seeks them out. I think that could be a fun way to do a sequel, but it's an interesting thing that they're actually trying to do a sequel to this.
yeah, I personally think that would probably not be the best. I think they have other things that they could do. I think Ready or Not is perfectly fine the way it
Oh
is, and it
yeah,
doesn't need to be a franchise.
it doesn't need a sequel. I'm just trying to think of like what they could do since they are doing a sequel apparently.
I don't. I probably would not see that, to be honest.
Understandable.
Yeah, I'd be like, nah. I am interested about what that Abigail movie is going to be because that is also by Radio Silence. And it has Melissa Barrera in it, which is cool. And again, I wasn't exactly the fan of Scream 5 and 6 the most. It was fine. I mean, Radio Silence, like they do all right work, but again, whether or not I love their oeuvre, I don't really know. But Abigail looks kind of fun.
Oh yeah, that definitely looks like a lot of fun. It looks like it has a lot of similar vibes to something like this. So I'll
A little bit.
definitely be going to see it. And I also love a lot of these cast members in it. Like you mentioned, Melissa Barrera, Giancarlo Esposito, Dan Stevens,
Catherine Newton,
and
just from
Catherine
Lisa
Noonan.
Franken,
Like,
yeah,
oh
Lisa
yeah,
Frankenstein.
like I pretty quickly I grow the love of Catherine Noonan over the past few years between like Lisa Frankenstein, her being Cassie in the latest Ant-Man film, the and also Freaky. You seen that?
I've seen that.
I'm definitely excited to see more of her. Or Lisa Frankenstein, like that was that like even though I know there's probably recency bias, like I've already decided that's one of my favorite films of all time. I love Lisa Frankenstein.
Okay. Yeah, I probably will wait. Yeah, go ahead.
It's just all everything about it feels like the vibes that I love of seeing films.
Right. I think yeah, I might want to wait for Lisa Frankenstein to like stream or something, which is fine. I do like Diablo Cody. Like she is a perfectly fine writer for the most part. I don't mind her writing. And Zelda Williams, if anything is the first and upcoming director. And I mean, nepotism is a bitch, but like, I mean, I don't know what she had done before, and I think her being Robin Williams' daughter helped her get the job, I'm sure. But I also think like maybe she did do a perfectly decent job, and hopefully it kind of resonates with the people it's supposed to. I'm interested to watch that movie, but I also want to watch a movie from the 90s called My Boyfriend's Back because I think some people have said it's like because my boyfriend's back is about this guy who comes back from the dead to like date a girl or whatever. So like Lisa Frankenstein, it's not the same thing, but it, I don't know. There's just like similar vibes to me. So I kind of want to do a little double feature with that.
Okay, nice. Nice. Yeah. I don't think there's really anything else to say for this episode. So I'll start winding this down. Thank you for coming on, Jesse. I loved having you on. It was a lot of fun talking to you.
Thanks.
And if you ever want me to come on to your podcast, I'm absolutely down.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll see about that, and we'll see
It's
how
all
that
right. No,
works.
hey, if you don't want me, I'm fine with talking about
Oh,
it too.
no, you're good. You're good. Yeah, we'll see about that, and you'll see what you might want to cover or whatever. But yeah, no, I enjoy coming on here. I think if anything, it's always nice to meet other people who, are into movies and any of that. And be able to talk about this kind of stuff. I like how we did go on like a tangent about like just movies in general, but
Oh,
that's totally fine with me.
yeah.
Because yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, if anything, like I'm not somebody who is like a critic or anything. I'm a curator of anything, if really. And I'm just some homosexual with a microphone who likes, movies and shit. So like for me though, it's like I just want to celebrate films that I like
Yes.
and, be able to talk about things maybe I didn't like as well. Just have that kind of eye for it. But yeah. But thank you
How
for
I
having me though.
feel,
I appreciate it.
yeah, how I feel about with like what I do, I would also not call myself a critic. And that's basically because like I just want to talk about everything I love about movies. I don't want like I hate being critical about stuff. It just isn't fun to me. I to me like I would honestly just call myself a lover of movies.
Sure. I think there's value to be critical of things. I don't think there's anything
Yeah, I
because you don't want to
don't.
be in an
There's
echo
not something
chamber.
wrong. There's not
Right.
something wrong with being critical of stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't enjoy that myself.
Yeah.
So like you notice with like how we reviewed these films. Like I didn't have much bad to say about them at all. I just when I watch films, even if there are things that aren't great in them, a lot of times I don't even notice it.
Totally, totally. And again, I think it's a matter of I think having a critical eye on things for movies is fine. I'm not a trained movie critic, so I'm not necessarily diving into that. But it's just like I think a big thing for me especially is like, did this movie hit what it was trying to do,
Yes.
and that's what I kind of care more about. I can talk about like what I think of the cinematography, what I think of the costumes, what I think of the acting, blah blah blah, and that's fine. But I also think a big thing is like, did this understand the assignment? Did it end up doing what it was trying to do? Because I think also too, like sometimes I think a film thinks it's trying to do that and it completely misses. That also happens as well. So it's like, being able to have that critical eye is cool, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But like you were
Oh yeah,
saying, like
definitely.
you'd want to uplift what you'd like,
Oh yeah,
and
like
all that. I totally get that.
I think like we're like how I viewed what how I review stuff like I think of how Kevin Smith has said how he talks about films of it so he's just like I just want to talk about what I love and I don't and I'm not I don't like to put down other people's work and that's what and when you're criticizing stuff, well, yes, sometimes it is definitely valid. You are putting down things that someone else is doing, and that's just not the kind of thing that I like to do. And it's and I've always loved the way that he talks about films, and so I tried to be like a lot like how he is.
Yeah, I don't know much about Kevin Smith. I haven't really watched his movies a ton. I'm definitely somebody who like I think one of my favorite directors is, and this probably also has to do with the fact that he's from here, but John Waters is one of my favorite movie directors. And I think for me, like, he's just somebody who I look to, who I, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know what his like thoughts of filmmaking have been or like any of that kind of stuff, but I feel like he's okay. I'm just somebody who, if anything, I am okay with being critical on some
Oh,
things,
yeah.
but overall, like with my show in particular, I'll be critical when I would want to be, but like, if anything, like I want to be able to talk about things that maybe did fly under the radar,
Oh, yeah.
or being able to learn about these different cult movies and what does that exactly mean, and
Definitely.
like all that kind of cool stuff. But I don't mind having a critical eye myself,
Yeah, me
but
too.
it's always okay. But I'm also not touting myself as like, look
Yeah.
at me, I have a film theory degree and all this shit. I'm like, no, I went to theater school. Like, I don't have that same thing, but
Yeah.
I've watched a whole lot of goddamn movies, some really great and some that are not good at all. But
Yeah.
I guess they
Yeah,
did it. I didn't.
I've definitely also seen some films that I
Yeah.
very much do not like.
Where you're like, nah.
I once watched The Amazing Bulk, which was, wow, it was a pain.
Oh God. Yeah. No, I watched The Scary on 36 or 63 or whatever. That movie was awful. I watched
Oh, yeah.
Veronica. What the
It's
fuck's wrong with me? Ugh.
it's
God, Glenn Danzig, what did you do? Anyway, sorry.
no, it's all right. Again, thank you for coming on. It was great having you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Is there any final thing you'd like to say before I end this off?
Sure. So if you would like to, you can go follow my show at Cult Cinema Circle. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. I cover all
Oh,
different
yes.
sorts of cult movies. Kind of depends on what all it means, but it's all different genres, horror, comedy, musicals, things like that. You can follow me on Cult Cinema Circle on Instagram, and then I have a Twitter, but I don't really use it that much. It's Cult Cine Circle. And then I'm on Letterboxd at Jesse, Jesse Kremp, Kremp, all one word. And I like post what I've watched, and like I just look at other people's reviews and just try to see, what they think about movies too. So, but yeah, you can go follow my show and, hit me up, talk to me if you want to. Any of that kind of cool shit. But thank you so much, John, for having me on. I really
Yeah,
appreciate it.
it was great. All right. So, thank you everyone for watching it or listening. And if you like this game of house, please give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or a 5-star rating on Spotify. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the episodes. Please let me know. And if you'd like to listen more from me, please subscribe. Many more game analysis from me coming, so keep on the lookout. This again is your host, Smash Cherry John, signing off.